Because David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." The fact that you can quote it, I'm happy, because then you have the word of God in your heart. This morning, I want us to quickly talk about a subject I'm calling trusting God in difficult seasons. Trusting God in difficult seasons. And the text is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. If you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles to that text. And if you're writing, please, you can write that text, and maybe you can go back home and hover on it and read it through to yourself and reflect on it. I'll read it quickly. And I'm reading from the NLT. Scripture says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope." NIV says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." This is the Lord's declaration. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." There was a time when we moved back to Lusaka, and the Lord, by his providence, allowed us to go to Lusaka and live there for some time. And we stayed at a place called, the owner of the place called it Seasons Court. If you're driving on Kafue Road, you're going to Lusaka, or you're going to Kafue, somewhere in Lilai area. A friend of mine found me this place. And in there, it was like, there were about maybe 4 or 5 flats in there. I liked it because it was a very quiet place. You drove in there, you felt like you were somewhere, not in Lusaka. It was so serene, and it was a nice place. I stayed there for some time before my wife and the kids joined me, and I loved it there. Sometimes I could lock myself up for a week, not drive out. I'll just be there just looking around and hearing the birds. And it was a nice place. Now that I'm here, sometimes I speak to the landlord, and I keep asking him, "Could I still have an opportunity to come back there? Or could that be an opportunity for me to rent that same place there I rented?" And unfortunately, when I left, somebody just got in. It's like they don't want to let go. The place is called Seasons Court. At some point, I asked this man why he named it that way. And he told me, "Stan, there have been seasons in my life that have shaped me, that have defined the way I look at life. There have been seasons that have allowed me to look at the way I treat people. There have been seasons that have been difficult seasons. There have been seasons where I saw my life right in the valley. Right deep in the valley, when I was looking up, I could not see help. But as I said, at the same time, seasons where I've had plenty." And he said, "There was one particular season when things were so difficult. And then somehow the Lord provided finances, and I decided to build this place. And for me, it's like a reminder. A reminder to tell me that, you know, though you pass through seasons, God still has your back. Seasons, God. And it reminds me of when the children of Israel were being tormented by the Philistines. If you read in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse, the whole text is 7 or 12. Where Samuel, when the Lord came through for them, when the children of Israel turned from what they were doing and they repented of their sins. And then as a reminder, Samuel picked a stone and he put a stone between Mizpah and Shem. And he said, Ebenezer, the stone of help. We've been through this season, but now the Lord has helped us. We've come this far, and I'm putting this stone as a reminder. Just like my friend, he built those things, those nice. And for me, I when I think about that, there are times when I reflected about life at that place. It's because of what the Lord can do. Seasons of life. Just like you and me, there are times when we, in life, we find ourselves in seasons. Some of you right now are in that season of happiness. Especially for you young ones here, who are probably on top of life, on top of the mountain. When you look around, you feel like the world, you can take the world on. Everything around you seems to be ticking. Whatever you touch, it's like it's working out. You are in that season of happiness. But some of us could be, we are in a season of dryness. Everything is dry. And I want to say, you know, sometimes life is never a straight line. Actually, all the time, life is never a straight line. Sometimes I get to meet people, friends of mine, hyper-Pentecostals like the way I used to be. You greet them, or they say, I'm blessed. How are you doing, my brother? I'm blessed. And when you dig deep, when you dig deeper, he's saying he's blessed, but he doesn't have even ubunga kunganda. Life is never a straight line. There are times when you are lacking something. But because of the Lord's mercy, it will still come through and he'll give you something. Some of us, we can find ourselves in seasons of uncertainty. You don't know what is coming tomorrow. You're uncertain. When you look around, you don't know where help is going to come from. Whatever you're touching is like it's not working out. You're uncertain about tomorrow. You work so hard. People tell you, no, it will work out, and you know, just work hard, just apply yourself. You work hard, but it's still like you are hitting a blank wall. Uncertain. Some of us here could be in a season of waiting. You are waiting. You are waiting on the Lord. As the Bible says, them that wait upon the Lord. You are waiting. But as you are waiting, let me tell you this. Some of us, we should change the way we wait on the Lord. Waiting, let me give you a picture. When you go into a restaurant, When you're served, there are those people they call waiters. They come to wait on you. And what do? Sometimes some of them, they can also be annoying. They give you a nice meal, and before you even dig into the first piece, they come to you. How is it? Is it tasty? Give me time. I want to enjoy my meal. They walk away. 2 minutes later, they come back. How is it like? That is what waiting is. Waiting is not standing still. Waiting is not just watching. Waiting is being active. Waiting is doing something, not just waiting. So you could be in that season where you are waiting. As you wait, do something. Change your perspective. Wait on the Lord, but also do something as you're waiting. Some of us here could be in a season of disappointment. A season where you're feeling hurt. You are disappointed. Young people, maybe you just broke up with somebody. We've been there. We were once young. Now that we are 100 years old, you know, we still know what it feels like. I'm joking, I'm not yet 100. Hurt sometimes can take its toll on you. It's a season of disappointment. Maybe somebody stepped on your toes 20 years ago. And that you've prolonged that disappointment to this time. It's a season of disappointment. When we read in scripture, there were moments the children of Israel were in seasons, varying seasons. We read about a season when they were in Egypt. It was a season. Remember that season. They were being worked hard. They were working, even before somebody would wake up from their sleep, they would be woken up. Can you go and work? As they are working, they are not, it's like they are not doing much. They are whipped to work. It was a season. Like I said, we read another season when they were taken, they were being dominated by the Philistines. When you read in the book of Samuel, they were being dominated because of their sin, their disobedience to God. At some point they were following God, but then they decided to follow other gods. They decided to make friendship with other people that were not godly. And because of that, God allowed it that they should be taken into captivity. There were also seasons when this same children of Israel were taken into exile, into Babylon. As I'm giving you this background, and as you identify with the seasons that you are in, please can you look to your neighbor and just, in case they are very tired, they can be tempted to catch up on some sleep. Just gently tell them, can we lend this man our ears and can we lend him our eyes? So for a few minutes to come, can I just borrow your eyes and your ears? I want us to focus on the children of Israel, or Judah to be specific, when they were taken into Babylon. For these people, for these children of Israel, they were in exile. It was a displacement for them. And as they were there, they lost everything. Imagine you are taken from your home, the home that you are familiar with, a house that you love, friends that you have, and you are taken to a foreign place where you are told you are going to do things the way we do things. It's foreign to you. It can be foreign to me. And sometimes it can be emotional. When you reflect and you think, no, this is not the way I used to do life. But there's nothing you can do. You are held captive in a foreign land. For the children of Israel, it was not only emotional, but it was also spiritual hardship for them. As I'm talking, I want you to visualize and think about them. They're thinking about the way they used to worship. Their temple is destroyed. Where they used to go to worship the only true God, when they think about it, they reflect, it is destroyed. And they're in a foreign land, they're being forced to worship other gods. The same for us here. Sometimes you can be displaced. You can move from a place you are familiar with into a place that is foreign to you. You are forced sometimes to do things that you are not used to. When such places, when such seasons come, especially now, most people, especially those that have not come to church this morning, most people would tend to rush for quick fixes. When things are hard, when things are difficult, it's just human nature that you'd want to fix things. Sometimes you want to take things in your own hands. You want to use your own wisdom. That for this thing that I'm going through, I think I can fix it. At times we even run to other voices for counsel. We go to some spiritual voices for counsel. It's hard for you. Sometimes you go to this prophet. Can you prophesy over my life? Because this thing, this thorn in my flesh, this season is so hard for me. Can you prophesy? You go to those false prophets. It was the same for the children of Israel. When you look in chapter 28 of 1 Samuel, of Jeremiah 28, as they are in captivity, there's a false prophet that comes up. He says all the right things. There's a man called Hananiah. He tells the children of Judah, don't worry about what you're going through. Peace will soon come. Does that sound familiar? You go to that man, he will tell you, no, don't worry. Things will be all right. It's a voice that we want to hear. Itchy ears. And that tells the children of Judah, don't worry, peace will come and it won't be too long. Within 2 years, things shall be all right. Guess what? He was wrong. He was wrong. When you are faced with difficult seasons, what the Lord is asking of you is not for you to go out and seek for counsel, especially from those voices. The Lord, I believe, is calling us to come to a place where we live faithfully for Him. Because like I said, life is never a straight line. There'll be seasons in life when things are so hard. But when things are hard, the Lord is calling us to come to a place where we are faithful in the way we do life. We are faithful to him. And then we also take pride in a place where God has placed us. If somebody is sleeping, please just give them a nudge. Just tell them, you are in the right place. Please keep on listening. And when you are in that season, can I say this? Please, especially now, don't run for quick fixes. When a season seems to be so long, when a season seems to be so hard, don't run for quick fixes. Sometimes you have to say, Lord, what is it that you're teaching me? Quickly, I want to read Jeremiah chapter 29. And if you can bear with me, turn to your Bibles, 29 verse 1. I want to read to verse 11. Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was after King Jehoiakim, the queen mother, the court officials, the other officials of Judah, and all the craftsmen and artisans had been deported from Jerusalem. He sent the letter with Elasa, son of Shaphan, and Jemariah, son of Hilkiah, when they went to Babylon, as King Zedekiah's ambassadors to Nebuchadnezzar. This is what Jeremiah's letter said. Now, this is at the back of this false prophet, Hananiah. Now, hear what the Lord says in verse 4. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he had exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. He says, where you are, build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away. Doing something. Do something. And wait for the peace and prosperity of the city where you are sent into exile. And this is what I want you to do. Pray to the Lord for that place. For its welfare will determine your welfare. When you are in that season, in that place, sometimes it could be in that place of work where it's very uncomfortable. You feel like you're in exile. Things are not working out. The Lord says, pray to the Lord for that place where God has blessed you. For its welfare will determine your welfare. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon to trick you. When things are hard, don't run to those prophets, especially now. And I beg you, I plead with you, don't run to those men and women. You know what? God has given us the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of God dwells in you. God can speak to you. God can reveal his purpose to you. Amen. He says, because they are telling you lies in my name. I've not sent them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon, not 2 years. You will be in Babylon. You'll be in that place of work where you're not comfortable, where things are hard. You'll be in Babylon, not for 2 years, like Ananias said. And he says, you'll be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I'll come and do for you all the good things I've promised. I'll bring you home again. And then this is what the Lord says, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good. You'll be there for 70 years. But I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. To give you and a future and a hope. I want us to note something here. At the back of those promises, of those nice things that we are told, there's something that the Lord says here. Before God gave the children of Israel, Judah, any message of hope, this is what we learn here. He tells them a very hard, very difficult truth to take. He says, forget about the 2 years. Actually, I'm going to add 68 years more to the 2 years. 70 years, you're going to be in that exile. It's hard truth. But this is what I want you to do when you're in exile. This is what I want you to do when you're waiting on me for 70 years. For that long, this is what I want you to do. I want you to live faithfully. And I believe that's the same word for us. When you're in that place, can you have that posture to live faithful before God? And he tells the children of Judah, he says, I want you to build houses. What a God. Not only do I want you to build houses, I want you to plant gardens. Not only to plant gardens, I want you to do them well. The gardens should look very well. Nice flowers. If you have designers, please have designers do those landscaping, and I want the place to look good. Not only do I want you to plant gardens, as the place looks good, know what I want you to do? I want you to marry and raise families in that foreign land. I want you to be comfortable. And you, as you are comfortable, as that person maybe is lashing at you, as that person is having a go at you, as that person is having a bad look at you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to seek the welfare of that place. I want you to wish them well. I want you to bless them. I want you to pronounce a blessing for them, because when they are blessed, you are going to be blessed. Imagine, what a God. In other words, he's saying that enemy, that the person that stood on your toes, I want you to bless them. Because when they are blessed, you'll be blessed too. There's a lesson there. There's a lesson that I want us to go home with. When you are in that difficult season, life should not stop. God calls us to continue with life. Life continues. Proceed on with life. Continue trusting God. When you are in that difficult position and season, act responsibly. That difficult season. Don't leave things. Sometimes, you know, when you are, especially I hear people, they are employed and they are not happy where they are. When I meet such people, they are working somewhere and they are saying, no, I'm not happy here. I tell them, if you're not happy, leave. Do yourself a favor and just leave. Instead of complaining, do the best you can to beautify the place. Do the best you can to make the place better. Because their welfare will determine your welfare. When you're in difficult seasons, this is what I want us to do. I want us to learn not to go to listen to foreign and false voices. Because it's easy when you're oppressed and things are difficult, it's easy to go to a prophet somewhere. Because you want an escape. When you're in a difficult season, learn to stay still, because the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. When you're in a difficult season, be cautious of false voices. When you're in a difficult season, I want you to know this. There's always a promise that would come. There's always a promise, and that sometimes this promise might not look like it is from God, but it is right from the very heart of God. When you are hearing those good things, the 2 years, there's a voice that is going to come. And I want us to pray that we discern and know this voice. In difficult seasons, we have to learn to hear God's voice. And that voice is, he's saying, I know the plans I have for you. What God is saying, I can see you. I can see the difficulty that you're going through. I can see, yes, I know you don't have even a penny in your pocket. I know things are hard. But guess what? I know the plans I have for you. And the plans that I have for you are not disastrous plans. The plans I have for you is to give you a hope and a future. And I pray that we should learn to hear God's voice. I pray that the Lord would be able to help us shout and say no to those loud voices. And difficult seasons, we learn to hear God's voice. And I want to say this. Jeremiah 29:11 is not a text about prosperity, unfortunately. When God says, I know the plans that I have for you, it's not a text about what we hear. No, God is going to prosper you. God is going to give you this. God, it's not about prosperity. That text is not about instant wealth. That text is not about tomorrow's success. Remember, it says you're going to be there for 70 years. It's not tomorrow. But it says after 70 years, even when you're in that long period, I want you to know my thoughts for you are not disastrous. My thoughts for you is to give you a future and a hope. That text is saying, like I said, I know things are hard for you. I know things are hard for you. And I want you to picture God's face. He's looking at you and you're going through what you're going through. Some of you maybe might only have one pair of trousers. And he's saying, I can see you. I can see what you're going through. Some of you students, sometimes you just feed on bread week in, week out. I can see you. And you're saying, I can see you. When you are called, when you're invited to go and Hungry Lion for you, that's heaven. He's saying, I can see you. But while you are going through what you are going through, I want you to know this. I want you to pick my voice and know that I am with you. Things shall be all right. Yeah, the season might be long, but things shall be okay. The season that God puts us in sometimes could seem like it's too slow. Sometimes it feels like that. It's too slow. But guess what? He wants you to see him even in that, what you're seeming to be slow. But what he wants you to follow the process. And not only to follow the process, but to enjoy the process. Build houses. Marry. There's joy and there's happiness in marriage. Those of you that don't want to get married, can I encourage you? Start praying that God can give you somebody to marry. It's nice to marry. That's what God is telling you. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to enjoy the process. It might seem to be too long, but I'm with you. If you are writing, I want you to write this down. If everything I've said has gone past you, I want you to write this down. When things are hard, when you are in that dry season, I want us to do this together. I want us to trust God's timing. If you're writing, I want you to write that down. Trust God's timing. And as you are praying, you have to pray, Lord, I know things are difficult, but I want to trust you because you are always on time. Number two, I want you to hope in God's sovereign plan. God has a plan. His plan is sovereign. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His thoughts are not your thoughts. He's got a plan for you. I want us to trust in his sovereign plan. And as you trust in his sovereign plan, write this down. And if you've been doing it, please, I want you to stop if you can. Not that I despise prophets. I respect prophets, and God still speaks through prophets. But where we are now, there are so many voices that are not voices from God. They are voices from the pit of hell. So as you are in that difficult season, this is what I want you to do. Avoid instant gratification. Say no to those voices and try to say, Lord, please help me to hear you for myself. Oh, Lord, can you use my family to speak into my life? A family like this, a family where God has blessed you. There are people that God can raise way amongst yourselves to speak into your life. And that's still prophecy. Don't rise up and go and chase after prophecy somewhere else. God can speak through somebody that you are seated next to. As I finish, I want to read this out again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Other versions say, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you as you are in that difficult season. and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. And that's God's word. I want to read it again in case you missed it. As I read, I want to borrow your ears, please. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Even in that hard season you are in, God is at work behind the scenes. God has your back. God has my back. Shall we pray?